The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Megillas Esther, in Perek Gimel, Achar Advarim Ha'Eleh, Gidla Melech HaChashverish Es Homon Ben Amdoso Agogi Vainasehu. After these things took place, the king Achashverish elevated Haman, the son of Hamdoso, or Agogi, who was from Hagog, and raised him up high. Vayosem eskisei me'al kol asorim asher itay. And he raised his throne above all of the other princes that were with him. V'cholavdei ha'melech asher b'shar ha'melech korim u'mishtachavim l'Haman. And all of the servants of the king, which were in the gate of the king, bowed down to Haman, ki kein sivalei ha'melech, because this is what the king commanded. U'modchai lo yichra v'le yishtachaveh. But Mordechai would not bow down, he would not bend to him. The Chazal tell us because Haman made himself as an Eleha, he made himself a god. Vayemru avdi ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech le-Mordechai, madu ha-ta'iver eis mitzvah sa-melech. And the servants of the king asked Mordechai, why are you transgressing the commands of the king? And Mordechai learned that Haman learned that Mordechai was a Yehudi. He was a Jew. Vayar Haman ki ein Mordechai kereo mishtachav elei vayimalei Haman chema. And when Haman saw this, he became very, very angry. And he was ashamed to merely take revenge against Mordechai alone, because he had learned who the nation of Mordechai was. So Haman decided that he must destroy all of the nation, all of the Jews that were in the empire of Achashverosh, the nation of Mordechai. V'chodesh Rishon hu chodesh Nisan, v'shnas shteim esrei l'melech Achashverosh, in the month of Nisan, which was in the 12th year of the reign of the king Achashverosh, he plupur, he threw a geirol, he cast lots, lifnei haman miyom liyom mechedish lechedish ne'masor lechedish ador. And it came out that on the 12th month, the month of Adar, would be the month which he felt he would be successful to destroy all of the Jews. And Haman came to the king Achashverosh. And he said, there is a nation which is scattered and divided amongst all of the nations. B'chol medineis malchusecho. In all of the states of your kingdom, v'doseihem sheneis mikol om, and their statutes are different than all other nations. V'doseih hamelech einam alsim, and they do not keep the statutes of the king. V'lamelech ein sheve lahanichom, and it's not worthy, it's not befitting to the king to leave them here. Im alamelech tov, excuse me. If it pleases the Melech, the king, Yikosev le'abdo, let him write that they should be destroyed. And Haman promised the king that I will bring you 10,000 kikars of silver. So the king took his ring off, gave it to Haman ben Amdoso Hagogi, to Haman, the son of Hamdoso, who was from Agog, Tzeirei Har Yehudim, the enemy of the Jews. He said, the Kesef is given back to you, and the nation do as it pleases in your eyes. So Haman had a decree written and sent out to all of the Medinais of the kingdom. To destroy and to kill and to completely eradicate es kol ha-Yehudim, all of the Jews. Minar ve'ad zokein, taf ve'noshim b'yem echod. From the young to the old, children and women. And one day, b'shleisho asor l'chedish, shneim asor u'chedish ador. The 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Ador. U'shlolam l'vayis, and to plunder all that they own. When Haman decided to take revenge against Kol HaYehudim, this means Kol HaYehudim Mamish, all of the Jews. Because the Gemara tells us, the first parak of Masechet Megillah, that Ahasuerus was from the few kings who reigned from one end of the world to the other. Sefer Elam Ad Sefer. The 127 states which he ruled over, these were all of the states in the world. And therefore the Jews over the entire world were all subjects to Ahasuerus. Well, this wasn't the case when one faction of Klal Yisrael was in danger. The Spanish Jewry, or the Portuguese Jewry, or English Jewry, or European Jewry. It was all of the Jews in the world. And he wasn't interested in the old ones or the young ones, but minar ve'atzokein, from the young to the old, taf inoshim, the children and the women. And he wasn't interested in selling them as slaves, like Esther tells the king later, ilu nimkarenu la'avodim v'lishfoches, that if we would have been threatened to be sold for slaves, then I wouldn't bother the king. But his plot was to completely eradicate the Jews from the face of the world. Now this seems rather strange. Why a person would be interested in that? Destroying a nation completely, where there should not be a zecher, a remembrance of them left. And even more so, what was the reason for this? The reason that Haman wanted to take this action, because Mordechai wouldn't bow to him. And he found out who the nation of Mordechai is. So because you hate an individual, so therefore you're ready to kill and destroy and plunder an entire nation. So this even seems even more strange. To understand this, we have to understand who Haman was, where he came from, and the character of his particular nation. The Megillah tells us Haman was Ben Hamdoso Ho Agogi. He came from Agog. Agog, the Gemara tells us, was the king of Amalek. So Haman was an Amaleki. Amalek comes from the children of Esau. He was a grandson of Esau. The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Vov, Posuk Yud Beis, V'simna ho'Esau filegesh le'elifas ben Esau. Esau had a son by the name of Eliphaz, and he took Sibnah as a Pelegish. Vatedled Eliphaz es Amolek, and she gave birth to Amolek, which means that Amolek was the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau. This nation, we first find its confrontation with Israel in Parshas Bishalach. At the end of Parshas Bishalach in Yud Zayin, Posuches, Vayovay Amolek Vayilochem im Yisrael Berefidim. Amolek came to war with Israel in Refidim. This is taking place right after Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, after the Exodus, after the crossing of the sea. They came to war with Israel. Vayemem Meshel Yeshua Bechar Lonu Anoshim. So Meshe said to Yeshua, choose for us men, Vitzei Hilochem Ba'amolek, and go fight against Amolek. And tomorrow I will stand up at the top of the hill and I will have the staff of Hashem in my hand. By this nation we find a decree from the Almighty which we find in no other place. Vayemar Hashem el Meshe. Hashem said to Moshe, after this war with Amalek, "Ksev zei zikoren b'sefer v'sim b'oznei Yeshua. Write this down as a remembrance in the sefer, in the book, and place this in the ears of Yeshua. Ki macho emcho emche ezecher Amalek mitachas hashemoyim. Because I shall completely eradicate the remembrance of Amalek from beneath the heavens." We have another parsha of Amalek at the end of Parshas Kisetze. This is in Devarim Chof Hei. There the Torah tells us, Zochor es asher osa lecho Amalek baderech betzeischem mimitzroyim. Remember what Amalek did to you when you were going out of Egypt. Asher korcho baderech, that they confronted you baderech on the way. And they cut off all of those who were following behind you. And you were tired and weary. And they did not fear God. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you peace from all of your enemies, misoviv, which surround you, ba'oretz asher Hashem elokecha nesin lecho nachalo lirishto, in the land which Hashem will give you for inheritance, then timche ezecher Amalek mitachas hashemoyim. You shall eradicate the remembrance of Amalek from beneath the heavens. Leitishkoch, you shall not forget. Rashi tells us, you shall eradicate. This is why I am commanding you. Because I want the eradication of Amalek. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I do not want Amalek in this world. In Tarshish Kiseitse, Rashi tells us, what does it mean that you should eradicate Ezechar Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek? Me ish v'ad isho, from man to woman, me olel v'ad yonek, me shor v'ad seh, children, even those who are still nursing, from the bull to the sheep, shelo yeishem Amalek niskar, in order that the name of Amalek shall never be remembered, afil al behema, even on an animal, leimer behemazumi shel Amalek ha'isho, that someone should say that this animal belonged to Amalek. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want them in the world, and he doesn't want even their zecher, even their remembrance in the world. So here we find a tzivui, a command, which we do not find by any other nation, to completely eradicate them and every zecher, every remembrance of them. To try to understand this properly, we have to go into some of the Ramozim, some of the inferences that the Torah teaches us about this nation. In the Parsha of Bishalach, the Chazal, the sages, learn out an important principle, but which seemingly has no relation whatsoever to the war of Amalek. When Amalek came to fight with Klal Yisrael, Vayemer Meishe al Yeshua, Meishe said to Yeshua, Bechar lonu anoshim, choose for us men, Betzei hilochim ba'amalek, and go and fight with Amalek. The sages ask, what does it mean, Bechar lonu, choose for us? Meishe should have told Yeshua, choose for me. Why choose for us? Meishe was the general, he was the king. Yeshua was the servant. He was the Talmud, the disciple. So Meishe should have said to Yeshua, choose for me men that will go fight against Amalek. What does it mean, Bechar lonu, choose for us? So Rashi brings, leave cho, choose for me and you, Hishvu lei, that Meisha made himself equal to Yeshua, and he made Yeshua equal to himself. Mikan, from here the Chazal learn, Yichvei talmidcho choviv alecha kishulcho, that the honor of your disciple should be as great as your own honor. The honor of your disciple should be as dear to you as your own honor. And therefore Moshe didn't tell Yeshua, choose for me. He said, choose for us. He was mishtatev. He made a shutfis, a partnership between he and his disciple. And from here we learn that a person should endear the honor of his student equal to that of his own honor. What Rashi is quoting as a Mishnah in Ovis in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Dalet, and also it's in Ovis the Reb Noson, and it's in the Mechilta. It's a very important principle. I once saw a very keen observation from the late Gaon Reb Yitzchok Kuttner, Zocheinu Berocha, where he asks, this is a very important principle, but why did the Torah choose to teach us this principle here? The Torah wants to teach us a principle about how one should look at his Talmud, his disciple, so there's more relative subjects, more relative parshas where we can learn this from. Why here, when it's coming to the war of Amalek, here the Torah reveals to us this principle? That's one observation. Perhaps some of the things that we will say this evening, perhaps are some of the words that he meant in answering this question. Another observation. We find that Amalek, with all of their traits, they also seem to have the trait of kishuf, of witchcraft. Because in the same pasuk, the Chazal Amadaik, Anoshim, thank you, Anoshim men, thank you. Why men? Anoshim. Now, Anoshim doesn't only mean men, it means men of strength. Giborim ve'yirei chet. So Rashi tells us, Anoshim shiyodim levatel kishofim, lefi shebnei amolek mechashfin hoyu. Men that know how to destroy sorcery. Because the children of Amalek was sorcerers. So we find another inference here, the Torah is telling us. They seem to be experts in sorcery. Thank you. In Parshas Kisetse, states Asher Korcho Baderech. Remember what Amalek did to you, Baderech, on the way when you were coming out of Egypt. Asher Korcho Baderech. The word Korcho is a difficult word. What it means. Rashi brings three droshes. First, he brings Asher Korcho Baderech Loshen Mikro. From the word mikro, which means an incidental confrontation, a mere happening, something which was merely coincidental. So it would mean Asher Korcho Baderech, that they happen to meet you on the way. Then Rashi brings Dovache Loshen Keri V'tuma. Not the word mikro, but it's the Loshen Keri. Keri is tuma, impurities. They caused impurity. Shoyam Etamon B'mishkav Zohar. They caused you to become impure through acts of Mishkav Zohar of homosexuality. Then Rashi brings a third Rosho. Dovache loshen kor v'chaim. Not keri, but kor v'chaim. From the word koro, cold. They cooled off what before was hot. Tzenancho v'hivshircho misirchoscho. So you call a umay shireim li lochim b'chem. All of the nations of the world were afraid to come and start up with Klal Yisrael. Ubozev Yishchel. And Amalek came and started. Not only they weren't afraid, but Beherem Mokem L'Acherim. But because of this, they showed the way to others. No other nation in the world would have ever fought with Klal Yisrael. No other nation in the world would have ever fought with Klal Yisrael. Because they were afraid. But once Amalek came, this heat of fear became cooled off for others now to follow. And Rashi brings Moshe Lambati Reseches. An example, you have a great basin, you have a swimming pool. Reseches of boiling hot water. Shein kol beri yechola yelei b'secho. No one can go in. Bo ben belayel echot kofat v'yore l'secho. So one mechutzef, someone with a great chutzpah, comes and he jumps in. Afal tisha nichve. He kroa iso b'fnei achirim. Even though he is burnt, but he has now cooled off the water for others. He cooled it off physically, because it's not so hot as it was before. And he cooled it off psychologically. There are many things that we're afraid to do because nobody has done it before. But once someone does it, now he has shown others that it can be done. So we have three droshes on this posuk. One is Loshen Mikro. Korcho Baderech, it was an incidental confrontations. Two is Loshon Keri, impurity. They made Klal Yisrael Tomei, the Mishkav Zohar, with homosexuality. Three is Kor V'chaim. The word mikro, korcho, is from the word kor v'chaim. They cooled off what was hot before. They made touchable what was untouchable before. Now they're all good roshes. But what is the relationship between all three? When we have several roshes, there must be some link between them. How are they linked together? The quality of Amalek, the mid of Amalek, the Torah tells us is the Leyor Elikim. They came to fight with you, the Lo Yor Elikim. Ato Oye Fi Yogeya, you were weary and tired, and they didn't fear Hashem. This V'lei Yorei Elakim, that they didn't fear Hashem, this is to a very, very great degree. Because we must remember that this is taking place immediately after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, after the Exodus. And in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, there were tremendous miracles. Everyone saw the Etzbe Elakim, the finger of Hashem, the Yad Chazoka, his strong hand, who's Reyin Etuyah, in his outstretched arm. And in Parshas Bishalach, when Klal Yisrael went across the Red Sea, so Moshe Rabbeinu sang in the Ojo Shir, in Posuk Yud Dalet, Bishalach Tes Vov, Posuk Yud Dalet, Shomo Amim Yirgozun, Chil Ochash Yesh Vipaloshes. Nations heard and they trembled. A great fear and tremble took hold of the Philistines. Oz nivalu alufe Edom elimayav yechazem road. The kings of Edom became confused, and the giants of Moab became afraid. Namogu kol yeshve Kanaan, the dwellers of Canaan melted with fear. People aleihem emosav afachad, that let the great fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael fall upon them. Bigdol Zeracho Yidmu Koaven. Ad Yavaram Cho Hashem, Ad Yavaram Zukon Yisrael. A fear and trepidation took hold of the entire world. The entire world heard of the miracles. The Chazal tell us that Vayiboka hamayim, hayom leinemar el hamayim, mikan shikol mayim shebailam. The seas did not split, the waters split, all of the waters in the world. And all of the nations saw this. And this is why they were all afraid. And the Mechilta tells us here in the Parsha of Amalek that Amalek was the first. No other nation would have come. So when the Torah tells us that they didn't fear Hashem, it means they didn't fear Hashem. After hearing all of this and after seeing all of this, still Vayove Amalek. Amalek came to fight against Klal Yisrael. They weren't afraid. There was no terror. There was no trepidation. This is the midah of Amalek. This means kfira. They didn't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Goes a little further. Their denial in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great that the Torah tells us here in Bishalach, Vayemek Yod al Keskom Milchom al Hashem Bamolek Midor of Dor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I raise my hand up in an oath over my throne, and I swear by my name that I will have a war with Amalek for every generation. Now the word Kisei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, is spelled missing an aleph. And his shame, his name, Ko, is also missing. And Rashi brings from the Chazal, Yodei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ruma lishove b'kisei, liyais le'milchoma ve'eva ba'amolek ha'ilomis, u'mahu keis v'leinemar kisei, ve'af ha'shem nechlak lechetzov, nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu shein shmei sholem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears that his name is not complete, ve'in kisei sholem, and his throne is not complete, ad shim yimche shmei shel HaMolek, until you will eradicate the name of HaMolek. And when will HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name be complete? And when will his throne be complete? That's L'Osilove. That's after the eradication of Amalek. Then, Kisayv Ushmoy Sholei. His throne and his name will be complete. But Kolzman Sh'Amalek Ba'Elam. As long as Amalek exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears that my name is not complete and my throne is not complete. What does this mean? So the Gorayin explains that his name is not complete. This is the Achdus, the singleness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And as long as Amalek is in the world, there is no Achdus, there is no singleness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His throne, this represents his Malchus, that he is the king. He is the Melech Malchei Amalochim, the King of all kings. And as long as Amalek is present, the Malchus Hashem, his kingship, is not evident in this world. This means that Amalek is entirely contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Malchus. They are entirely contrary to Klal Yisrael. Because Israel is the nation which brings the singleness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Miki Amcha Yisrael Goy Echod Boretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And who is a nation in the world like Klal Yisrael, which is one? And they are the ones who bring the Malchus Hashem into the world. It was Avraham Avinu who was Makir as Beira. He recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he taught the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brought his name into the world. And this is the essence of Klal Yisrael. And Amalek is more than all of the other nations. Because Amalek comes from Esav. And by Esav it states Leish v'bigdula, that Esav and Yaakov can never live together. We have in the parsha told us, but the Torah tells us in Chof Hey Posuk Chof Gimel Ula'im Milaim Yemots, one will draw its power from the other. Kishezeh comes a Nefil. When one will rise up, the other will fall. When the other will rise up, this one will fall. They will never be great together. And this was by the seed of Esav. And even though Amalek was not the great empire of Edom, the great Roman empire that was to become a world empire, the seed of Esav, but Amalek, being the seed of Esav, had this midah, had this trait. And more than this, they were entirely contrary to Klal Yisrael and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By every nation, there is the possibility that there could be some shituf, some participation with Israel. It's possible. that they could live together, that they could work together, that they could serve Hashem together. But by Amalek, this was impossible. Amalek has no shituf, no participation whatsoever with Israel. They cannot blend in at all. And therefore they're misnaged, they're contrary. And therefore they destroy the singleness of the world. And their power is to be matcher, to reject the Malchus of Hashem, the light of the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this nation cannot exist. Mochai Timcha, eradicate this nation. Because I take an oath that as long as this nation is here, then Yod Al Kes Kor, my name is not complete and my throne is not complete. It's a question of either myself or they. Milchoma ba'amolek dor v'dor. I will have a war with them forever. This means that the power of Amalek is to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael are trying to bring the light of Hashem into the world, and they are working at rejecting it, at denying it. Now, the first drosha that Rashi brings, Asher Korcho, that they confronted you al aderech on the way, is mikro, an incidental confrontation. This teaches us something of their essence. When a person looks at the Bria, when he looks at the creation, he can come away with one of two approaches. He can see the great miracles of the creation. He can see the miracles of the world, the miracles of the human being, of the human race, of which these miracles are not 100 or 1,000, but elef alfei alofim, they are tens and tens of thousands, ad she'ein shir, beyond count. The Chazal just give us a little insight of what one galaxy might be. Scientists today write that the greatest collective brains of the entire world are trying to duplicate one artificial organ, the smallest organ of the human body. And still, they cannot make one as good as nature created. And these are miracles that are happening all of the time. And they testify and retestify to the Malchus Hashem, to the kingship of the Almighty. And this was Avraham Avinu. That the Chazal say, how did Avraham come to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Histakel bebiro, behiker es balabiro. He studied the palace, and from there he understood the builder of the palace. If someone studies a building very carefully, from there he can understand the personality of the one who designed it. If someone is a great master of art and he studies the painting, he can come to an understanding of the painter. Avraham Avinu was such a great master and with such brilliant intellect and such a great spirit that by studying every part of the universe, he could understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He startled Bibira, Bihikeres Balabira. He studied the palace and he understood who the master of the palace was. The Chazal tell us that he came to understand the entire Tayag mitzvahs, all 613 mitzvahs, in this manner. That's one approach. Then you can have another approach. You can see the greatest miracles of the world, but at the same time completely write them off. You can say that this doesn't testify that there is a Balabira, that there is a master over the world. This does not testify that there is a builder of the world. This does not testify that there is a king of the world. And answer each one off. It might seem a bit ridiculous to do such a thing, but it's being done all of the time. It was done in the past and it's being done in the present. If you look at some of your greatest books of science and medicine today, you'll find that in the same breath, when they come to such revelations over the tremendous powers or resilience of the human body or of the universe, so in the same breath they write kfira. They make sure to tell us, but this doesn't mean that someone created the world. I saw a documentary speaking of the miracles of the human body, how scientists today are collectively using all of their brain power to try to recreate a bit of tissue of the body, or a muscle or a tendon. And through this they're seeing the great miracles of the human body, that no architect and no engineer and no scientist can reproduce it. And then immediately, in the same sentence, they said that we're not able to reproduce what evolved in nature through the natural process of evolution in the last so many billion years. This is what is known as mikrokora. To take a happening, or to take an event, or to take an achievement, and not to relate it to its source, but say that it was purely incidental, or it was coincidental, or it was evolution. There have been many writers who have written, many great people of thought, that according to chance, you would have a much better chance of producing the greatest Rembrandt painting or the greatest Shakespearean literature by knocking over a bottle of ink from a table than that the world developed itself through billions of years of evolution. If we go with the laws of chance. Yet these people, who all follow this theory or other such theories, they're not stupid. They're from the greatest minds in the world. Stupid they're not, but they are kafirim. They're rejecting the malchus of Hashem, and they're doing everything possible to do so. And this is mikrokora. And the source of this power, the shadish, the source of this power, is in Amalek. And it has to be. Because we could ask ourselves a simple question. After seeing the destruction of Egypt, after seeing the 10 plagues, even Paro, who was such a kafir, such a denier, and he said, "Mi Hashem, who is this God? Asher Eshma, that I should listen to him." Even he later on, he was told by his Mechashvim, his sorcerers, Etzbe Elikim, it is the finger of Hashem. And even he later on said, Hashem Atzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is righteous. And they saw the 10 plagues, the destruction of Egypt. And they saw the splitting of the sea and the destruction of the Egyptians. And still they came immediately to fight with Klal Yisrael, Vayovei Amalek. Were these people completely fools? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu could destroy Egypt, which was the most powerful empire of the time, if he could turn over a sea, what chance did they think they would have against Israel in a war? Where was their mentality? What kind of military strategy is that? The answer is, they saw and they said the same thing that generations after generations of kofrim, of deniers, have seen and have said. The plagues, it wasn't from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was natural phenomena. The sea, first of all, we don't believe everything that we heard. It was exaggerated. And if it was, it was natural phenomena. You have all types of theses written by great minds to show how at that time, naturally, the sea should have split. There should have been earthquakes. There should have been a tidal wave or whatever it might be. But we see this Mineu Bay, we see this right from itself, from it itself, that they lived through this epic, and still they came to fight against Klal Yisrael. V'chi v'shufat asher korcho baderech. Amalek came asher korcho baderech loshen mikro. They came because of their power of mikro. Their power to link any event to a mere incidental or coincidental reason and not to link it to the master of the world. This is the power that they came, and this is why they came. Otherwise they would have never come. Asher korcho baderech loshon mikro. And we find this by Homan. The Megillah tells us in Perek Vov, after Haman had this downfall, where the king instead of honoring Haman as he had expected, he told him to go and lead Mordechai through the streets. Vayisaper Haman lezeresh ishtoi. Pasuk Yud Gimel vayisaper Haman lezeresh ishtoi lachol ayavav es kol asher korohu. Haman came home and he told his wife Zeresh and all of his beloved ones everything that had happened to him. And there the word is korohu mikra, which means everything that had incidentally happened. He didn't read into this that this was caused to him. He read into this that this happened to him. It was a stroke of bad luck. Not that this was caused by some guiding hand, by some power greater than him, but it happened to him. Asher korohu. And the fact is, the rabbis teach us that Haman when he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, and he wanted to find a month that he would succeed in, he threw the lot, he cast lots. What did he cast lots for? What was that going to show him? The whole essence of a lot, of a lottery, is that you throw your chances up to coincidence. Feeling that the way it will fall, then there could be some stroke of luck. And Haman was from Amalek, and this is their essence. And this is what the Torah tells us in the Teichochas. When the Torah rebukes Klal Yisrael in the Torah, and tells Klal Yisrael that all of the great Yisurim, these afflictions are coming upon you when you will be expelled from your land. Asher halachtem imi bikeri, because you have walked with me bikeri. Keri means loshen mikra. Because you did not see what was happening, that it was from Hashem. But everything that happened, you linked to mere natural phenomena. The Rambam brings this. We've often quoted this in the beginning of Hilchos Taanis. The Rambam says that when a tzar atzeret eschem, when a tzora, heaven forbid, hardships come to Klal Yisrael, it's a mitzvah's essay, it's a positive commandment, lizaik ulohoria b'chatzetzereis, to go out and to blow the trumpets, and to cry to Hashem. V'dovezem idarki atshuva. And this is from the way of repentance. Because when we react to a hardship, whether it's sickness, or whether it's war, or whether it's drought, the Rambam writes, when we react to it, and we come to be mispalel, we come to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we come to better our ways, then we are linking the phenomena to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to us, that He is bringing it, or we are bringing it upon ourselves. It's not merely mikrokor, something that is happening. It is something which is determined to happen. Something which is caused to happen. And we are the cause. So therefore it's midarkei atshuva. Because this will help us to understand, to better ourselves. Avalim lei yizaku velei yoriu. But if we do not react to it, we say that this is happening because it's bound to happen. Why is there sickness? The doctor will tell you there's germs around. Everyone is in contact with the germs. So everyone is a possibility by everyone to become sick. But not that it is being caused by any particular power. Why is there war? War, there's war because there are nations. And the nations are interested in swallowing up each other alive. You have the political arena, so you have war. What does this have to do with your acts or your deeds or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is there drought? There's drought because there's a cycle. Every so many years, there has to be that. This is the weather pattern. Not that it's caused, it happens. If a person says that mimine gaile miralonu vetzorezu nikro nikreis, harizu derech aksvorias, then this is a very ruthless way. V'geiremes lem lidovik b'maisim areim. So then everyone continues in their own way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing tzora, which are caused by the people. Everyone continues in their own way. And this causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'teisiv HaTzorah, tzoras acheres, to bring additional ones. Hu shekosim b'Torah, this is what's written in the Torah, v'halachtem imi b'keri, that I will walk with you b'keri, that if you have walked with me in this manner, Then I also will walk with you in this manner. Claimer, that when I bring upon you a tzora in order to return you, if you say that it's only an undetermined, uncaused happening, then I will walk with you in this manner further. I will have to bring additional mikros, additional happenings to you. This is what the Torah tells us. It would be if someone would go out in the rain and he catches cold. So if he understands that the cold is coming because he was in the rain, so from there he learns not to go out into the rain again. But if he says that one thing has nothing to do with the other, so then he continues to go out into the rain. And next time it's not a cold, but it's pneumonia. And if he continues and continues, he'll continue to do so until he will destroy himself. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. The power to see that everything that happens in the world is from the king. This was the power that Avraham Avinu brought into the world. He stakel bebiro. He gazed at the palace. V'hiker es balabiro. And he saw there was a balabais. And he saw that everything was in order, in perfection from the balabais. The power to gaze at the castle and say that the castle was not built by a balabais. The castle created itself. This is the power of Amalek. Lo yore elekim. They don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Asher Korcho v'derech, they came to you because mikro koro. Because they see things in the world not as a determined, premeditated move, but something which is not linked to any source whatsoever. Therefore, how could they come after the Kriyas Yamsuf, after the splitting of the sea, after the destruction of Egypt? Because that had nothing to do with Klal Yisrael, that had nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first drosh. Another of the three droshes that's brought, Kor v'chaim. The word korcho means to cool off. Loshen koro, kar. They have the power to cool off what was hot before. Like the example with the ambati, with the swimming pool. Here the Chazal are teaching us that not only do they reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu for themselves, and not only do they deny the presence and the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for themselves, but their power is so great that they eradicate it for others also. When they reject Hashem, they are capable of influencing a world to reject Hashem. Just like Avraham Avinu was capable of influencing a world, the Torah says that in one place Avraham said, Elokei Hashamayim, the God of the heavens. And in another place he calls Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Va'oretz, the God of the heavens and the land. He said, before I came to this land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only the God of the heavens. Nobody knew him. But now, I am the one who taught the people. They know HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. He's the God of the heavens and the earth. Elokei Shamayim Va'oretz. Hegalti v'fi habriyos. People speak of the Almighty because I taught them of Him. This is what Avraham was able to say. Just as Avraham was able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring that understanding in the world to others, Amalek has the power, where they can destroy that understanding and destroy it for others. Just as Boa Belial Zeh, you have a bathtub, a swimming pool that's boiling water, and nobody will come near it. And one jumps in, and now they say, he did it, and he's still living. It's a sign we can do it also. And they follow. The so was it with Amalek. Velayore Elakim, they denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they rejected his name from the world. So others also could. And that's why the Mechilta tells us, Zachor, remember Amalek, because they were the first ones to come to war with you. And it was because of them others followed. Had they not come, no one would have come. This is Korcho, Asher Korcho Baderech, Loshin Kor V'chaim. They cooled off the heat, the fear of Hashem that was in the world. This they cooled off. This is the second Rosh. Another Rosh, a third Rosh that Rashi brings. Keri V'tumah. Doesn't mean an incidental happening, or it doesn't mean Kar V'chaim, to cool off. From the word Keri, we find the word Keri means Tumah, impurity. In the Chazal tell us, what impurity are we speaking about here? They came to make Klal Yisrael impure with Mishkav Zohar, homosexuality. This is something that seems very strange. To understand this, and here the Torah is telling us something which is very, very deep, and also something very relevant. If there is a master over the universe, then this means that there is an order in the universe. Things that happen by themselves don't have any particular order. Things that people build have a definite motive, have a definite design, a definite direction, a definite seder. And something which is built by the master of the world certainly must have a definite order. Something which is created by the master of all masters, by the greatest of all engineers, the greatest of all architects, the greatest of all scientists, the greatest of all painters, must have a perfect order. And this is the Seder, this is the order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world. And this is the great universe that we see. If someone will study it, he'll find that from the greatest planet to the smallest atom, there is a perfect order in the world. A perfect order linked together in perfect cooperation, synchronized with the utmost mastery. Now, what we must understand is just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an order in the physical world, he also created that order in the spiritual world. An indication to this we have in Parshas Korach. When Korach stood up against Moshe Rabbeinu, and he didn't want Aaron to be the Kohen, and he wanted that he should be the Kohen, he should be the Levim, and he went to war, to confrontation with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe told him, this is in Bamidbar Tes Zayin Posuk Hei, Vaidaber al Korach ve'al kol adosei lemor. Boker v'yoda Hashem es asher loiv es hakodesh. In the morning you shall know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choosing. Why did he say in the morning? So Rashi tells us, Omalei Meisha, Gvulais Cholak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'elomai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Gvulais. Chukim Shechokakti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made walls in the universe. He made boundaries in the universe. He made limitations in the universe. Yechelim Atem La'apeich Beke Le'erev. Can you change them? Can you change day to night or night to day? No. No man can change the natural gvulais, the natural walls that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in his universe. Kein tuchla levatel ezu. When you'll change those boundaries, then you'll change the spiritual boundaries of the world. Shnemar vayere vaybeker vayavdil. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be evening, let there be night, and he divided between night and day, and no man can change them. So, Vayavdil Aaron Lagdishay, when he separated Aaron from the rest, that you will be the Kohen, the priests, and the others will not, when you'll change day to night and night to day, then you'll change the priesthood from Aaron to the others. Gvula is cholak HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'elomai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He created lines, walls, gedorim. And just like there are walls in the natural world, there are also walls in the spiritual world. And just like one cannot change the walls of the natural world, one can also not change the walls of the spiritual world. There's a pasuk in Parshas Ahazino. In Devarim Lamed Beis, pasuk Tes Zayin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Yakni uhu bezorim b'sei eveis Yachisuhu. But he's giving rebuke to Klal Yisrael. He says that you make me angry, bezorim, with your strange acts. B'sei eveis Yachisuhu. You make me angry with your abominations. Rashi tells us, and this is a Sifri, that the Almighty was referring to something specific. What does this mean? B'maisim te'uvim, with your abominations, kigon, for example, mishkav zohar, homosexuality, ukshofim, and sorcery, witchcraft. Shnemar behem te'eva, which these are called abominations. Now the question is, why are these two selected? It's implied from a Gemara and from others in Meforshim that the simple reason is most Averas, most transgressions, if a person does them, naturally it's against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And naturally he becomes angry. But there is a good reason why to forgive. Because a person is driven to this because of a passion, because of a chemdo. A person is driven to steal because of the great desire for money. Kodesh Baruch Hu realizes what material desire means. A person is driven to other averes because of great drives, great lusts and passions. So it's like a father rebuking a child. The child did wrong, he must rebuke him, he must punish him, but at least he understands why the child did it. But there are certain other averas, which a person is not driven to. And still he does them. This evokes a special anger by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you doing it? Yachisuni lahachis. You're doing it to make me angry. What's driving you to it? And these are acts of sorcery. The Torah said, "Mechashefa leisichya, leisichaya." You're not allowed to exercise sorcery, but you have a passion to do it. What's driving you to do it? You're totally negating what I said. Mishkav Zohar. It's the nature of the world. The desire of a person to pursue a zohar and a keva, a male and a female. What's driving you to another male? Yachisuni. Therefore, these particular anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is true, but there's a deeper reason in this. By these are considered zorim, very strange acts that anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the king of the world, he gave an order to the world, as we mentioned. This nature that he gave to the world is a perfect order. And there's a primary nature and there's a more sophisticated nature. And we're speaking here both at the physical and at the spiritual level. For example, to the world he gave Hilchis Derech Eretz. The Gemara tells us that the laws of Derech Eretz, that means the laws of proper conduct, how a man should conduct himself in this world, this he gave to the whole world. The Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach, the seven mitzvahs of Nayach, this he gave to the whole world. This is his order. To Klal Yisrael, he gave a more sophisticated order. He gave them Taryag Mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs. This is the structure that he gave the world. There are certain averas which go beyond the structure, beyond the pattern that he gave to the world. And when a person does it, he is destroying the seta, the structure that the Almighty built. For example, we have today what we refer to as norms. Common decency, normal conduct, what's normal and abnormal. Is something normal because this is what the majority of the people do? And something is abnormal because the minority of people do this? Or perhaps it's the other way around. Because it's normal, that's why we find the majority of the people act in this way. And because it's abnormal, that's why we find only a minority of people acting this way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gvulos Cholak Le'olamai. When he built the world, he structured it. And he gave it a physical nature and he gave it a spiritual nature. And any avera, any transgression, is a yetzia, is a deviation. Except there are certain deviations which are a very sophisticated level. And to the world, they might be a minor infraction of the order of the world. This is the Taryag Mitzvah, the 613 Mitzvahs, which he gave to Klal Yisrael. Le'nitna ha-Mitzvahs ele le'tzarefes ha-Briyas, he gave Klal Yisrael these Mitzvahs to perfect them and to refine them and to make them perfect. But there are other Averas which are total deviations from the order of the world which he gave. Not only at the sophisticated level of the Taryag Mitzvahs, but at the basic level of the world. And this is a total antithesis. This is a total disregard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. The king, his duty is to be Mesader Es Ha'Elam. His duty is to place in order his Medina, his state. And this becomes a total disregard. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have angered me with your abominations. We're not speaking of Averes, which might be at a sophisticated level. We're speaking of such abominations which are a total deviation from the world. It was the norm of the world that a male and female should unite, because through this becomes perfection and a unity. And here you are destroying the order of my world. The Gemara says on Kishuf, on sorcery, it's a power. But it's machish pamalyul shalmalo. It comes and it conflicts with the order that I gave the world. I created a world and I created an order how to guide the world. Kishu, sorcery, is machish pamalyo shalmalyo. It comes to conflict with the order that I gave the world. It turns it around. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, every aveira angers him. But you're not tampering entirely with his world. But these types of aveiras, Yakni uhu bezorim, b'se'evus yachisuni. You anger me with strange acts, b'se'evus yachisuhu. You anger me with your abominations. In our generation today, we find a pattern which didn't exist in other generations. We can't say that our generation are greater Rishoyim, more wicked than others, because Rishis, wickedness, evilness by the Ummahs, by the nations of the world, always existed. If it was in Avraham Avinu's time, it was in the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood. If it was during the time of Esau, or the four empires, or if it was during the time of the Inquisition,
or the Crusaders, or the Holocaust. Evil always existed in the world. So we can't very well say that our generation is more evil than others. But there is a distinct difference. We're living in a generation today that has been labeled as the permissive era, the permissive generation. The name gives us an indication as to what it is. What does this mean? This means that what was prohibited before has become permitted now. But what do you mean forbidden before? I think almost everything that might be taking place today took place before also. There was a difference. Other generations were also shakua, they were also sunk into the evils, in the rot, the degeneration of the world. But at the same time, they had a respect. They had a yira, a fear from the order of the universe. If there were many of these averas that they might have partaken in, they did not do it blatantly. They did not do it publicly. Or better yet, they did not declare to the world that there's nothing wrong with it. It was forbidden. They indulged in it, but it was forbidden. Our generation has created a new notch where it's permissive. It is no longer forbidden. It is permitted. Those who indulge are not indulging in forbidden acts. But they are telling the world that what was forbidden until now is permitted. What does this represent? This represents a blatant denial of the order of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The others recognized an order of the universe. They recognized what was forbidden and what was permitted. And they had a respect for it. They had a fear for it. That they indulged, that's a different question. But they didn't come to change the order of the universe. But this is what we're seeing in our times. And if you look into our times, you'll see that we're living where it's a total denial of the order of society. Today we have seen the tremendous growth, proliferation of cults, all types of foreign ideologies, of witchcraft, of extreme promiscuity, of drug abuse. Of homosexual communities. Of a rebellion against institutes that were forever accepted in society. It's all kind of dialogue today on the institution of marriage. Is it an institution that we should keep, or maybe it's something that we should reject? We're living in a time of tremendous deviations from the norms. There was always what people would call common decency, normal behavior, normal standards. Today, we find the generations want to rebel against that. We see a rejection, a rebellion against normal standards of dress. if people before happened to go well-dressed. Today it's a mitzvah to go not well-dressed. But it's a definite rejection of the standards of society. And I'm not just talking. There's been great studies going on this. And doctors and psychiatrists are well in touch. It's a generation where we see the deviation. Now, when you talk to these people, what do they say? Things are happening in our time where people are doing things that there's not even a drive to do. There's not even a passion to do. Tremendous drug abuse. There's sadism. There's self-inflicted wounds. Is there a passion to do these things? And when you speak to these people and you tell them that your conduct is not normal, so what do they answer you? They answer, who says it's not normal? Maybe you're not normal. We're normal. This is a very popular theory amongst the homosexual today. That is not a deviation. This is a medical, psychiatric theory. It's not a deviation. It's not a deviation from the norm at all. It was just never socially accepted. Why can't there be marriage between two men? If there can be marriage between a man and a woman, why can't there be marriage between two men? It's a kasha, it's a good question. Why can't there be? It's a good question. If you ask why, it's a good question. There's reasons, there's deep reasons in the Torah for that. But the question was never asked before. Because the norm of the world was not that way. There's a very strong theory today amongst these cults is that it's not abnormal behavior. The reason why the world never indulged because of a social stigma. It was not acceptable to society. But what determines what's acceptable and what's not acceptable? Society. So if today society will determine that it is acceptable, it'll become normal. And we are as normal as you are. This is the great rebellion. And what is happening from this? We're seeing a total breakdown of the Malchus Hashem. Because when you tell these people, what do you mean it's not normal? What do you mean this is normal? This is something that all the time your fathers and your grandfathers and your great grandfathers rejected. So they'll say, well, they came from such a society. But this was something that was held traditional by people. What tradition? This is something that the Torah commanded, even the sons of Noach. Or the Torah commanded the Jews. What Torah and what God and what king and what order? If you're living in a world where there's a king, then there must be civil order. There's mishpat. There's a government. If you're living in a world where there's no king, then there's no order. If there is no order, then society determines the order. If society has determined the order till now one way, what stops society from determining the order another way today? What I'm saying over here is not just talk. These are worked out, processed, thought-provoking theories that are coming from the greatest academics of the world today, from scientists, sociologists, and medical people. And if you don't believe me, go speak with them. And the great source of this are the academics on the campus. All of these deviations And all of these cults have had their sources on the campus, which are the halls of the great wisdom of the world. Now, the source is not really the campus. The source is Amalek. This was the power of Amalek. Amalek had the power to reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there is no Melech. V'le'yor Elokim. If there is no king, then there is no order to the world. If there is no order, then there is nothing which is normal or abnormal behavior. A norm can only fall within a prior structure. An abnorm, normality, is a deviation from a structure. But there is no structure. We create the structure. It's left up to man. Whether how you want to say the world came about, if it's through evolution or through whatever other way, this is irrelevant. But we create the order of the world. We determine norms and standards and what's common, what is decent conduct and what is undecent conduct. And Moshe Rabbeinu told Korach, Baker, in the morning you'll know. You want to change the kahuna, you want to change the priesthood, change the morning first. Gvulei Scholak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'Elamai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made walls in his world. When you'll change the morning to night, the nature of the world you'll change, the physical nature, then you'll change the spiritual nature. And as long as the physical nature is unchangeable, so is the spiritual nature. When you'll change morning to night, then you'll change the kahuna from Aaron to you. And someone who rebels against the choma, the walls of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his world rebels against him, the nature rebels against him. And this is the bitter fruits of our generation. We are seeing where the nature is rebelling against our generation. We're living today in a world of disease. Of disease to levels that even prior generations didn't experience, with all of our vast medical knowledge and resources. We're living in a world today of total psychiatric and emotional problems, total social upheaval, total breakdowns of the home. Of suicide and other such things. You rebel against the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, then you find that its nature rebels against you. This is what is meant. Asher korcho baderech, that they came to you on the way, loshen keri v'tuma. They came to make you impure with mishkav zohar, homosexuality. Because Amalek was the essence where they refuted the malchus of Hashem. If there is no melech over the world, then there is no order to the world. If there is no order to the world, then there is no deviation from the world. And this was Amalek. And therefore, mechashvin, they were sorcerers. And Moshe told Yeshua, Bachar lonu anoshim, choose men that can stand up against their sorcery. They're experts in sorcerers, in sorcery. Machish pamal yoshel elom, because the sorcery comes to change the order which the Almighty gave the world. So we see that actually there are not three droshos. It's one drosho. It's one teaching. Except each one is a further level in the same one. Amalek came by Yoveh Amalek right after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right after the great miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the whole world feared from his kingship and his order of the world, Amalek denied. But lo yore elokim, there's no such thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as a creator. And they came to war against his nation, which represented his malchus. And with what power did they come? Asher korcho. Mikro, that they could link everything to a mere incidental coincidental happening, not to the Malabais. And further, Kor v'chaim, that this influence they gave to others also. The whole world feared. Chilocha Jeish v'Peloshes, the trepidation took hold of the Philistines. But when Amalek came, the rest followed. Kor v'chaim, that their poison they gave to the others. They cooled off with it. And Loshen Tuma, Keri, they came with an impurity, but what kind of impurities? The impurities which anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the impurities which reject his malchus. Not someone who rebels against the king because he wants to steal money or a passion. He's rebelling against the king's laws. But someone who rebels against the king because there is no king. He rebels against the entire order of the king. They came with their impurities, with their deviations, and with their kishuf, and with their sorcery. This was the power of Amalek. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, other nations they can serve together with Klal Yisrael. There's no reason why they can't. The whole world he built for his honor, they can all come and serve me. But Amalek, that's the essence of an antithesis to my kingship and to my order of the world. He's an oyev, he's the enemy. And as long as they are in the world, my name is not surely. How can there be a singleness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the world when they are the ones who destroy it? And my throne is not surely. My throne is not, my kingship is not complete. And therefore, Milchomo, I have war with Amalek in every generation. And therefore I command you, Moche Emche, destroy them totally. Because it's either myself or they. Destroy them totally. Now what is the guarantee that the world knows that there is a Derech Eretz in the world, that there's a seven mitzvahs of B'nai Neach, that there's a Taryag mitzvahs? Where does the world know this from? Where do we know that there is a normal conduct and an abnormal conduct? Where do we know that there is something that's within the structure and something that's a deviation from the structure? Where do we know it from? This is Klal Yisrael's duty. This was given to Yisrael. This is what Abraham taught the world. And Yitzchok and Yaakov. And Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu to teach the world. And how does the world know this? We're not living in the generation of Abraham. We're not living in the generation of Yitzchok and Yaakov. The entire way that the world knows this is through Rav Le Talmud. A Rebbe teaches a Talmud, and then the Talmud teaches the next Talmud. Moshe taught Yeshua. Teirim Kibel, Moshe Kibel Teirim Yisinai Masru Li Yeshua. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and he gave it to Yeshua. Yeshua l'zkenim l'nevim. The chain of the Maseiros of giving it over one generation after the other. If that is broken, then we revert to the situation of chaos. So the whole guarantee of this structure is only Rav the Talmud. The importance of the Rav is because he has the duty and the schus to give over the Malchus Hashem to the world. But his Talmud has that same importance. Because if his Talmud will not do this, then his teachings end. Therefore the Chazal said, Hevi choviv kfei talmidcho ki kfei atzmecho. You must honor your Talmud like you honor yourself. Because what is your great honor? That you can be a shutef, you can be a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give his direction to the world. But that can only be fulfilled through your disciple. If your disciple won't do it, it won't go any further. And therefore, when Moshe came to Yeshua, and he said, Bocha lonu anoshim, choose for us men. Leave elcho. We're the same, we're equal. I'm the Rebbe, you're the Talmud. But the teachings must go out between both of us. And why here did the Torah teach us this? Because we're coming to fight Amalek now. And Amalek's power is to destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus in the world. To destroy his order in the world. And the power of Israel is to bring the Malchus of Hashem in the world. To bring his order in the world. Amalek's power is to create chaos, confusion. Our power is to bring light, not darkness, but light. And that comes through the Messiah, through Rebbe Le Talmud, Rebbe Le Talmud. Therefore, here the Torah taught us that. Here Moshe emphasized it to Yeshua. We're going to destroy Amalek. Bochalonu, we are shutfim. We are partners. Have kfei talmidcho, choviv etzlocho ki kfei atzmecho. This is why when Haman hated Mordechai, it was not Mordechai. It was not a petty jealousy that Mordechai wouldn't bow to him. Haman was Amalek, and Amalek is contrary to Israel, and Israel is contrary to Haman. Lo yishvu zeh. They both cannot coexist. And just as Klal Yisrael is commanded to Moche Emche to eradicate Amalek, it is the nature of Amalek to want to eradicate Cholilo Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when he found out Higel Lehem is Amordchai, who the nation of Mordechai was, Bikesh Lahashmid Laharegel Abed. He wanted to destroy the entire nation. Minarvi Abzoke, not the young and not the old, the young and the old. Tafin Oshim, children and women. He wasn't interested in a faction of them. He wasn't interested in selling them as slaves. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we cannot exist together. And Haman by nature knew that what Israel stands for is totally the contrary of what I stand for. And therefore, Bikesh Lahashmi Laharegel Abed. This is the war of Amalek, and this was the great miracle of Purim, Vanapechu. The events were completely turned over. It wasn't Lahashmi Laharegel Abed. It's a Yehudim. It wasn't the destruction of Yehudim, it was the destruction of Amalek. It was the destruction of Haman. And it was through Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai was from the Sanhedrin. Esther was a Nevi'ah, was a prophetess. And they brought out a great or of Torah. Such a great light of Torah. La'ihudim heisa orah. A new light of Torah came to Klal Yisrael. That didn't exist before. Kimu v'kiblu, the Chazal tell us, that on Purim they came to a level which was in a degree even higher than the level that they came at Har Sinai. Because over there is Gabrus, their confrontation with Homon, and they're overpowering him. And his poison of denial, they came to greater heights in the recognizing the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and an understanding Torah. This was the Nes of Purim. And this is the power that Purim brings every year. We should realize that the power of Amalek exists in the world and exists very strongly in our generation. We're living in the thick of it. The fact is, not long ago I read from one of the pioneers in medicine who specializes in diseases caused by stress. And he wrote that these diseases are inflicting our generation much more than past generations. And people think because we have a more stressful situation. This is what might be true. But the question is why? So people think because we have more worry. We have more pressures. He says, not so. What pressures, what worry? He says, in Europe, the past generations, where there was constant fear from pogrom and war and anarchy, there wasn't worry. Where a man had to work from the early mornings of the day to late at night to earn a piece of bread, poverty was all over, there wasn't worry. When there was a flu epidemic in Europe, it wiped out communities. Can you imagine what the worry and the pressure must have been? Here, what happens if there's an epidemic? So the government puts a report in the paper and everybody gets inoculated and finished. So he says, what he's talking about there, the other generations had more worry, we have more worry and pressure. So what then is it? There's no doubt there must be something. See, he writes, I'll tell you what it is. He says, a person thrives on hard work. He himself was a man in his 70s working 10 or 11 hour a day. He says what causes it is we're living in a generation of confusion. And confusion erodes self-confidence. And self-confidence erodes security. He says in the past generations with all of their problems, the direction was clear. A person grew up, there was a strong structure of the home. There was a strong structure of the community. His direction was very clear. He had very few alternatives, very few options, and he knew what he was supposed to do and what was expected from him. Today, there is no tradition. There is no unity of the home. There is no unity of the community. A person is cast into a lion's den. The youth are thrown into the society, into the campuses, where besides having hundreds of options, there's all types of ideologies, there's all types of isms, there's all types of confusion, there's chaos. This totally destroys the self-confidence of a person. Then his security is destroyed. He becomes insecure. Then the stress takes effect. This is Amalek. There's no direction left to the world. There's no unity. There's no Achdus. Shmi, my name which represents an Achdus, it's not there. My throne which represents that I am the king is not there. This is the power of Amalek. The only power that can counteract that power, the only power that can counteract darkness is light. And that's the light, Lahudim Haisa Ora, the light of the Torah. This was the light that came about in Shushan HaBira, that destroyed Amalek, that brought light to Klal Yisrael. We should all be zeicher to have a Purim Sameach, a Freilich Purim, and we should be zeicher to the lights of Purim, to the or, which wipe out the cheshich, the darkness of Amalek, to the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Bayom Ahu Yi Hashem Echad Ushmei Echad, on that day when I relieve you from your enemies and you will be able to totally destroy Amalek, then my name will be one. And we should be zeicher to the or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the or of His Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.